contrarians.
We'll call it the contrarians because we think outside the box and we are ahead of the game when it comes to the next big things. We see an opportunity when they present themselves versus when the crowd, the herd, they don't see these opportunities and they can't take them or they don't know how to take them. So this podcast is going to be dedicated to helping people put on a contrarian cap on and to think like a contrarian and to see these opportunities when they arrive. Now, my name is Anthony Evans. I'm 25 years old. I live in Irvine, California, and I've been investing for the last 6 years. I've been in the stock market since I was 19 years old. My first stock I bought was SolarCity, and that stock ended up going down the drain. But long story short, I've been in this game for about I've been in it for 6 years, but I didn't really learn, and like the light bulb didn't really turn on until last year when the coronavirus crash came. So when the coronavirus crash came, that's when everything started clicking for me. So yeah, so go ahead and introduce yourself, Nathan.
My name is Nathan Hernandez. I grew up in Southern California. Right now I live in Brea, California. I've been investing in the stock market and I've known about crypto since about 2013. When I was young, I originally just kind of invested trying to make money in the short term, trying to become a day trader, and kind of learned through all my failures and through different things that probably investing long term is probably the better way to do it. And he mentioned that we're called the contrarians, and what the contrarian, like the word actually means, is like we go against the herd. So like he said, that's what the whole moral of this podcast is going to be. It's going to be about going left when everybody else is turning right. And that's kind of what we believe in. But yeah, so I'm 26 years old. I currently work for my dad's company and I'm an investor on the side. And I'm also a life coach. And that's what I'm pursuing. That's what I believe in. And that's about it.
So yeah, so we're very young and, you know, we've been very ambitious when it comes to this. And we take this very passionately and very personal, you know, so we're into this together. So what I wanted to touch on is our failures first. Okay. So everyone knows that they need to fail. So I wanted to touch on my first failure when it came to crypto in 2017. Everyone knows that, you know, Bitcoin had just hit an all-time high of 20,000. My whole thing was I got greedy, and greed is one of the seven deadly sins when it comes to investing. And to be a contrarian, you can't be greedy. You gotta be able to be diversified, because diversification is key. When you get greedy, you start to just go all in on one thing and you think you're just going to get rich quick, and nobody gets rich quick. If anyone tells you, you know, it's a get rich quick, it's usually a scam. So I wanted to touch on that. And, like Nate, did you have any, you know, moments?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you just said about, you know, getting rich quick isn't the way to go. You know, there's a saying out there that says the best way to get rich quick is to get rich slow, because impatient breeds bad actions. When right. You're impatient, you make bad decisions because you don't take the time to reflect on the situation and think about what's really best. You know, a lot of times people, they get the feeling of FOMO, like what you mentioned, or what you have mentioned plenty of times, and people get the fear of missing out, you know, and it causes them to make bad decisions. And that's exactly what happened to us in 2017 when it came to the crypto market. You know, we had fear of missing out on these alternative coins, and both of us, you know, we lost our ass on that shit.
Exactly. So the moral of the story is don't get greedy, and, you know, don't go all in on one thing, and don't try to get rich quick. That's okay. So there's a story of a turtle and a hare. Okay. And I'm sure you've heard this story before, but long story short, the turtle ended up winning. And the reason was because he was slow and the hare was kind of just like a quick bunny, and he got tired at the end of the race, but the turtle won the race because he was slow and steady. Okay. So with that being said, we don't give financial advice on this podcast. We are not financial advisors. We are investors in the market, but you know what we do, I'll let you know what I do as when it comes to investing. And then Nathan will let you know how he approaches, the investing world. How I personally invest is I try to buy index funds. because index funds are diversified enough to where the volatility isn't really high. So I'm looking at maybe 1-2%, you know, I'm going down 1-2% or I'm going up 1-2%. So, but over the long term period, the markets just go up. Even when the market crashes, I can rest assured that my index fund is going to be safe. Like my favorite one is ARK. ARK is ARKK or ARKW, which is their internet ETF. And that fund ran by Cathie Woods is a great fund. They've been averaging year over year, 30-40% year over year. But their holdings is very strategically planned and they got a good, you know, they got a good team over there. And that's just when it comes to that. Now, 50% of my portfolio is stocks. And then the other 50%, I would say you want to put it in Bitcoin and Bitcoin only. You can get distracted with all these other altcoins in this market with Dogecoin and Ethereum and, you know, Litecoin. But I would say just focus on Bitcoin and just buy that just right off the Cash App. And then, yeah, so 50-50 if you want to go that way, or if you want to get into real estate too, you can throw some real estate in there. But how I take investing, I diversify my portfolio. So, Nathan, how do you do – when it comes to your investing strategy, what would you say that you do for as far as stocks and crypto goes?
I would say I follow a lot of the same philosophy as you do. You know, I like to diversify myself as well. I currently have a Roth IRA, which I use as my main retirement vehicle. And the great thing about the Roth IRA, it's kind of similar to a 401k or a regular IRA. But the only difference is that normally when you invest into a Roth IRA, you are contributing after tax dollars. Therefore, you do not pay taxes on your contributions or the gains that you make inside of this portfolio. So that's my retirement plan. And then aside from that, I like to put a steady amount every single week into a mixture of ETFs and regular stocks. And to do that, I use the M1 app just because of its easeability. And I just feel like it's really user-friendly and just makes my life a lot easier. And like Anthony said about the turtle and the hare, you know, I really think that investing slow and steady and just like doing like a weekly amount or a monthly amount, whatever is comfortable for you, is really the best way to go forward. And you just need to look at it as your way of paying yourself first. You're the one that gets up and goes to work. You're the one that busts your ass. You're the one that, you know, puts in all the time and all the commuting. Therefore, you deserve to pay yourself first. And by doing that, you will grow your money. You won't spend your money on ridiculous things. And ultimately, later on in life, you'll be proud of these actions.
Okay. So I like what you said about the Roth IRA and how that's a tax-free account. So for the masses who don't know what a Roth IRA is, it is a investment portfolio that you can set up through M1 Finance or you can set it up through Fidelity. Who do you have your Roth IRA with?
I currently have my Roth IRA through Vanguard.
Vanguard. So, yes, you can go through Vanguard. Now, what do you hold in your Roth IRA? Is it like what can you hold in there?
So within your Roth IRA, you can actually pretty much hold whatever you want. So with the money that you contribute into your Roth IRA, it's kind of just like a brokerage account. So you can pretty much buy individual stocks if you want to go that route, or you can buy ETFs, which are exchange traded funds, or you can go the mutual fund route, which is currently what I do. So my Roth IRA is a majority of mutual funds, growth stock mutual funds, both mid cap and large cap growth. When I am choosing mutual funds to invest in, I like to look at their track record. Mm-hmm. So I like to look at like a minimum of a 10-year track record. And when I'm looking at that 10-year, I like to make sure that they're averaging, you know, anywhere between 12-16%, just because that's going to be the fastest. But also with what comes the fastest also comes the higher risk. So if you're not so, you know, risk averse, I would recommend maybe going with less risk mutual funds.
Okay.
And that way you don't have as much.
And what risk. Kind of return are, okay. Now I know we were saying not get rich quick. And you know, with today's market, we've been seeing 100% in a day, you know, so what kind of returns should we be really trying to grab from these retirement accounts that you're talking about?
I would say on the long term, you should shoot for anywhere between Hopefully 10 to 12%, and that's on the good side over maybe a 10 to 20 year period. But like you said, you know, we live in crazy times where the stock market has been really wild, especially during this pandemic. Like for example, my Roth IRA last year averaged 22%. So that's much more than average. I don't expect that. I don't expect to get that kind of return year over year, but that's how it was in 2020, and we'll just see what the
And
future
the
holds.
average return is around 8%, right? The traditional.
Yeah, so the industry average for like something like the S&P 500 index would be something around 8 to 10%,
Okay,
correct?
so yeah, so 8% is what, you know, these billionaires and trillion, not trillionaires, but billionaires and millionaires, that's what they're shooting for. So as a new investor, as contrarian, that you should try to at least, you know, try to get above that, maybe 10, 15, or do 22 what Nathan's doing. He's getting 22% just last year. Who, you know, we hope that he can continue that rate of return. But over a 10-year period, hopefully, you know, you're averaging 15, 16, 17%. And that's not getting rich quick. That's getting rich over time. And that's a slow growth. So I know Roth IRAs do have a max contribution. You can only put 6,000 a year into them, so you can't put as much money as you want into them. But you know, 6,000 a year over 30 years at an average return at 15%, that's millions of dollars, and that's all tax free.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. And I'm just I just ran some numbers right now just because we were talking about it and for information's sake. And just to give you guys an idea of what kind of money can be grown inside of something like a Roth IRA. So if you started with $1,000 and you set this Roth IRA to save for about 30 years. So that's saying like maybe you're 35 years old. If you're younger, it'd be savings for even longer. But if you're 35 years old, you know, they say you retire at 65, so that'd be 30 years. So if you started with $1,000 and let's say you got 10% a year average and you put in $500 a month, at the end of that 30 years, you'd be looking at over $1 million at about $1,057,000. Now, if we crank that back from 30 to let's say 45 years for someone that's maybe only 20 years old right now, and they're looking at maybe that 65 year mark, that $1 million turns into $4.6 million.
wow.
And this is with a monthly contribution of the average car payment in America.
Wow.
So most people in America are paying about $500 a month just to finance their car, when if they took that money and allocated it towards the stock market, they could potentially be worth north of $4 million by their
But
retirement age.
where? Okay, so okay, I understand. Now I'm a dinosaur. I'm now this is to the masses, okay? I understand you said $500 and I'm gonna have 20 million. Where do I put my $500 every single month? I understand you said put in a Roth IRA, but where exactly do you, Nathan, do you put your $500 to get this?
So, like I said, I personally put my $500 into my Roth IRA every month into mutual funds, a mixture of both mid-cap and large-cap growth mutual funds.
Okay.
$500, and why I said $500 a month is because that is what meets the Roth IRA maximum of $6,000 per year. So, in America, you can contribute a maximum of $6,000 per year into a Roth IRA, which breaks down to $500 per month or about $125 per week.
Okay,
Just
perfect.
depending on how often you want to contribute.
Okay, cool. So we would take the $500 and we would put them in these mid cap, large cap mutual funds. So pretty much what a mutual fund is, that's a fund with a holdings of companies, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Or you can invest if you want to just go the super simple route. Most people will tell you to invest in something such as like a in S&P 500 ETF or index fund. The S&P 500 ETF that currently comes to mind is SPY. You can look it up on any stock exchange. You can look up SPY, ticker SPY, and that is an S&P 500 ETF.
Okay, so the S&P 500 now, if I'm not mistaken, the S&P 500 has been averaging only roughly about 8%. So,
That is correct.
okay, so I'm trying to get the 15, 20% in the index funds. Ken, what index funds that comes to mind? I know the S&P could never do that. So what other index funds do you think the people should look into? to try to hit those targets.
I don't know. I don't know necessarily other. Yeah, I don't know of other necessary index funds, but I do know of other ETFs that people can look into. I know you mentioned ARK earlier, ARKK, which is a innovation ETF, is a great one. Also, the one that you mentioned, ARKW, which is an internet ETF, also a great one. I'm also currently investing in BETZ, that's ticker BETZ, which is a sports betting ETF. And then a great ETF from Vanguard that I currently invest in is ticker MGK. That is what I would consider a mega cap growth ETF. And they've done quite well over the past year and the last 5 years.
Can you tell me the average annual return on that BETZ? That's the one?
I can't tell you the average. Let me see here.
Because sports betting, I think sports betting might be the next big thing out here. They have to legalize it. I mean, with DraftKings coming up and all these other ones, Penn. So I'm sure they got like the casinos in there as well, right? Like MGM.
Yeah. So exactly. So if I look at their asset allocation of BETZ, their number one holding is Penn at National Gaming. Mm. And they have other ones on here such as DraftKings, Tabcorp Holdings, just a lot of different betting companies. And you asked on their performance, and the ETF BETZ over its entire lifespan is up 95%. And over the last year, it's up 66%. And just in the last month, it's up 12.8%. So I definitely think sports betting is a growing industry. I definitely see it getting well into the probably hundreds of billions over the next few years.
Right. Okay. So that's great. So that's great. I think we should consider adding that in to the mix of the portfolio. So like I said in the beginning, as a contrarian, you know, diversification is key when it comes to this. You don't want to just be in one industry. We don't want to just be all in the marijuana industry or just all in the electric vehicle industry or just all in the sports betting industry. We want to have it all kind of like a pie.
Exactly. So, and you also don't want to be at 100% into something like a 401k.
Yeah.
You know, some people have their 401k and that's their only investment. They don't make any investments outside of their 401k.
Yeah.
And I personally would, you know, I disagree with this method.
Yep. Yep. So we touched on that. So everyone knows that a Roth IRA is the tax-free device that you should go with instead of a 401k. That way you're not get hit with all these taxes at the end of the day when you do decide to retire. The next subject I want to touch on is this cryptocurrency. So what do you think, Nathan? Like, this is crazy times too we're living in with Bitcoin, and all we're seeing these dog coins and, you know, altcoins coming up. Like, what is your take on this?
Well, I'm personally a big believer in Bitcoin. I currently have probably about 5 to 10% of my portfolio is in Bitcoin. I was a little late to the party, not super late, but I just barely started investing in Bitcoin in around July, August. I started investing in Bitcoin. I normally just bought it right through Cash App just because that's the easiest. But regarding the other cryptocurrencies, alternative coins, I'm not really a big believer in them. I'm kind of more of a believer that Bitcoin, because of its supply is limited. I think that Bitcoin is really the king of all the cryptos. And I think it's the only one with really a truly bright future.
Yeah.
So I definitely am a big believer in Bitcoin. I think it is the future. And I definitely think everybody, I know the super high price for a single Bitcoin might be intimidating, but I definitely put money into Bitcoin. And that's my
and one sense. Bitcoin breaks down to 100 million Satoshi. So you don't necessarily have to own a whole Bitcoin, because let's be honest here. I personally cannot go out and buy a whole Bitcoin myself. Everyone I know personally, you know, we all work normal jobs. So we aren't, you know, multi-million dollar companies. We're just, you know, nurses and, you know, grocery clerks. That's the kind of work we come from. So I used to work in a supermarket and I got into the restaurant business. And then from there I was a beer guy. And then I got into sales. So right now I'm doing direct sales for different companies on, you know, different stuff. And Nathan, he does sales as well. for racking. So, you know, we're salesmen, but, you know, we don't, you know, so we're just like you, the listener. So if you're just a guy who works by the hour, we're with you. So what I would tell you is to take it 1 million Satoshi at a time. And 1 million Satoshis is roughly $470. So that's roughly 1% of one Bitcoin. And the goal would be to get to your first 10 million Satoshi. 10 million Satoshi would have you set in 10 years more than you could ever imagine. Because the price of Bitcoin, because the market cap is so small right now, it hasn't even hit 1 trillion. I mean, the cryptocurrency market cap has crossed that 1 trillion mark, but Bitcoin has not. Bitcoin is still under a trillion. And if you look at gold, where gold is at, and that's who Bitcoin is competing with, the market cap of gold is 11 trillion. So if you were to just take the market cap of gold and flip it with Bitcoin, you can, you know, we're talking millions of dollars per coin. So just even 10 million Satoshis will go a long way in the future.
Absolutely. And you're mentioning 10 million Satoshis. How much would that be worth if someone right now had 10 million Satoshis? How much would that be worth?
That would be roughly worth $4,700. So what you would do is you would take the price of Bitcoins. Let's just say Bitcoin is 50,000 per coin. So 1% of 50,000 is $500. So 100 million Satoshis is in one Bitcoin. So the goal is no longer a whole coin, because that's not going to happen. You got to do the math here. There's too many people on this planet for everyone to own 21 million coins. So the goal now is to take it a million Satoshi at a time, whether that's you, you know, every single month you do a million a month, you try to buy 1 million a month, or, you know, I do smash buys where I just randomly every day buy $5-$10 worth of Satoshi on Cash App. And I switch my settings on Cash App to show me Satoshi instead of showing me just Bitcoins, because it's kind of like intimidating when you see that, you know, when you put $500 or $1,000 in, it's not really much, but in Satoshi term, that is a lot. That's 2 million Satoshi.
Yeah, well, that's super interesting. I didn't know you were able to change what you look at on Cash App to just see it as Satoshi.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's also where we need to head in the next generation, because in the next decade, because, you know, we've been so used to seeing everything as one Bitcoin or, you know, two Bitcoin, because the price was always, you know, the price wasn't where it is today. And also, you know, as it gets more and more scarce with the halving, I mean, they're going to eventually have to show just what 100 Satoshis cost or 1,000 Satoshis cost. You can't show us what a whole Bitcoin costs anymore, because it's going to be just unfathomable for us to buy a whole coin. Because where this thing is headed, we are early. I feel like we are very, very early and lucky to even be talking about this today. Because in my personal opinion, I believe people born today in 20 years will be jealous that we are even lucky to buy it at today's price. They're going to say, wow, you were lucky enough.
In a way, I almost look at it like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that in a way, I feel like, you know, Bitcoin right now, you know, it's still like in its infancy stages. I kind of feel like it's almost like, you know, the internet in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
You know? Like the internet had already been in process for, you know, a decade or two with Microsoft and Apple, but it wasn't really user friendly yet. Like people didn't really have access to it early on, just like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It was incredibly hard to get your hands on Bitcoin just, you know, 8 years ago.
Yep.
You know, back in 2012, 2013, 2014, people knew of Bitcoin, but it was very difficult to get. Nowadays, it's incredibly easy to get. It's kind of like the very early on people on the internet, the people that were buying all the domains. You know, people that were buying all the domains, you know, they bought them for so cheap back in the day. But now, because there's only so many domain names you can have for certain niches, certain companies, those domains are now worth millions in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very true. And like where this thing is headed, I think this thing might be just, man, it's crazy. I mean, the power of the Satoshi, like, how we're looking at Satoshi is how we looked at Bitcoins 10 years ago. Like, You know, like 100 Satoshi is 4 pennies today, or 5 pennies.
And just to be clear, Satoshi and Bitcoin are the same thing, right?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's like dollars and pennies. You know, a whole dollar breaks to 100 pennies. So just the same with the Bitcoin, it's divisible up to 100 million units. And that's how we're going to have to look at things in the future. Everything's going to be priced in Satoshi, like a bag of chips is 1 Satoshi, or, you know, McDonald's is 5 Satoshi. So, yeah, mass adoption hasn't even happened yet. So we're still completely, man, it's this technology is just too new. And I think everyone should just get 10 million Satoshi and just sit on it. Don't even think about it. And focus on that Roth IRA and just be diversified. I wouldn't say just go out and buy all Bitcoin because, you know, diversification is key. So my personal opinion, I built my foundation on Bitcoin, but I also have a lot of stocks. I have pretty much almost equal amount as much as I have in Bitcoin. Not as much. I have more in Bitcoin. I'm 60-40 right now. I was once 50-50, but Bitcoin's has been rising up so high where it's become 60-40. But I am definitely putting all my money in stocks right now to even that out. But yeah, that's where I'm.
Should even no matter how much money you put in stocks, it might get to the point where just it can't even keep up with Bitcoin.
Exactly.
If Bitcoin continues at the rate it's at, you're never gonna get,
because you got to see who Bitcoin's competing with. It's competing with gold, and at this rate with Elon Musk buying in, that just opened the doors for Apple, Google, Netflix, all these high tech companies with a lot of cash on their balance that need to convert it to an asset. So in the next year, we're going to see it. Like Michael Saylor just converted Elon. Like if everyone who has S&P in their Roth IRA is now exposed to Bitcoin, whether they like it or not. They are exposed to it. So if you have Tesla in your portfolio, you are exposed to Bitcoin because that is now on their balance sheet and their stock is now pegged to the price of the Bitcoin. So when Bitcoin starts going up in value, Tesla stock's going to be going up with it. So Tesla stock's just, I think Tesla's just going to keep going up forever because they got all kinds of, they got robo taxis. Yeah. They got some big things coming up.
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely. Tesla is one hell of a company.
Yeah.
If only I look back to, you know, when the pandemic first happened and everything crashed and I think, man, why didn't I put money in Tesla?
Exactly. Yep. And that's where it takes to be a contrarian and to see those opportunities, because those opportunities are going to keep coming. They don't just stop coming. It's just a different opportunity, but they keep coming.
Yep.
That's what I learned. Like, just like when you told us, well, you didn't say on the podcast, but you know, your father, he had an opportunity to invest in a huge company back in the day, and he didn't take that opportunity. And that company ended up being a $1 billion company, but they're no longer in business today. But he could have rode that wave up and had an exit. But, you know, just these opportunities, they're going to come, and we just got to seize them.
And that's the whole thing with opportunities. You know, you have to be willing, you have to be open for opportunities to even see
exactly.
them.
Exactly. You know, the will to
you can't,
take
you
them.
Can't be. Exactly, because you can't be closed-minded and expect opportunities to walk into your
right.
life, because that's just not how it works.
Exactly.
You have to be open. Once you're open to opportunities, they will show up.
Yep.
There's a saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Wow.
You know, the teacher doesn't come when you aren't ready.
Yep.
You need to be ready. Mm. And when you just have to be open-minded for things to happen.
Mm. Powerful stuff, man. So, yeah, man, that's about what I had. My 2 Satoshis on today's topics when it comes to investing in Bitcoin. This was our first take on this podcast. So, yeah, we will be doing this on a weekly basis, dropping gems on you guys so you guys can come back and check in. Nate does have a TikTok where he does give life advice. He's a life coach where he helps, you know, people in dark places, because he's definitely helped me out in some dark times in my life. And, you know, I'm seeing the light. So if you want to touch on that, Nate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is our first podcast. We're really excited about it. We both have, you know, been friends for over a decade now, and we've shared so many great conversations about finance and life and everything. And we decided that, you know, it'd be great to record it, publish it, and see whoever wants to listen to it and get inspired by it. And it's the beginning of a great journey for us. And yeah, like you mentioned, I do have a TikTok that kind of you guys can kind of see who I am and what I'm about. The TikTok name is underscore life coach Nate. You could check it out. You could follow me. You could watch my videos, or you don't have to. It's really up to you. But I look forward to making multiple podcasts with Anthony, and I look forward to you guys listening in the future.
All right. You guys have a good night. We'll be checking in with you guys next week. Take care. Bye-bye.